So the first thing is, this is not a judicial hearing.
Oh, okay.
Since you already disassociated yourself.
I haven't disassociated myself. I have not written a letter, and I formally have told you I have not disassociated myself.
The next thing is, this is a confidential meeting.
Okay.
So no recording device.
Okay.
Are you recording this?
No. Would you like to see my phone?
I'm just asking if you're recording.
No, God is recording this.
Okay.
See, it's off. But I do have notes on there, so I will leave it here. But if you would like to see that it's not recording, I'd be happy to show you my phone.
Well, I just have to take it from face value.
That's
fine. I have to ask that.
Sure.
So, yes, you have disassociated yourself when you were baptized outside of Jehovah's organization. And
outside of Jehovah's organization. Well, first of all, can we open with a prayer? Like, I would like Holy Spirit to be here.
This is not a judicial hearing. And you've already disassociated yourself from Jehovah's Witnesses.
That's not in your Shepherd the Flock of God book.
So what we'll do is, the scriptures we have in mind and we'd like to share with you is, why don't you share?
First one is in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 16.
Can you say that again, please?
2 Corinthians chapter 6.
Okay.
There it states, do not become unevenly yoked with unbelievers.
Oh, sorry, what verse?
14.
Okay.
Through 16. Do not become unevenly yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship do righteousness and lawlessness have? Or what sharing does light have with darkness? Further, what harmony is there between Christ and Belial?
Mm-hmm.
Or what does a believer share with, in common with an unbeliever? What agreement does God's temple have with idols? For we are a temple of a living God. Just as God said, I will reside among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jehovah's people.
It doesn't... Okay, sorry for interrupting. I'm sorry for interrupting.
We believe that we're Jehovah's people.
Mm-hmm.
We're following Jehovah's organization. He has an organization which he uses. Therefore, those who go outside of that are no longer part of that organization.
Okay. Can you show me the scripture that says that God has an organization? Because when I read the Greek scriptures, it says that God blesses individuals with Holy Spirit. And when Christ came and fulfilled the Mosaic Law covenant, which was a specific organization of humans, was abolished and fulfilled.
We're really not concerned about your belief or not belief with the organization. What it basically comes down to is you made the choice that you no longer wanted to be a part of this organization when you became yoked with unbelievers.
No, I didn't want to be part of... I simply wanted to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Whatever. That was your choice.
Whatever? Is that how you feel about me? Like, my question to you is, you... because of your love for Jehovah God, wanted to serve him more fully by shepherding his sheep. And there's the scripture that says there is more rejoicing in heaven over the one lost sheep who is found than the 99 who remained. And I am not getting that feeling from you at all right now. Like, do you... Like, if you cared about me, why are you talking to me like this? I'm telling you, I didn't get baptized into another organization. Like, it's very simple in Scripture. Matthew 24, go on and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's all I did.
And
it was very joyful.
But what, you did it with another organization?
No, I didn't.
You did it with someone that doesn't believe what Jehovah's Witnesses believe.
Correct? I did it with someone who believes that the Bible is our authority and the Word of God. Do you believe that the Bible is our authority?
Okay.
And maybe I should read a scripture from it then, because
please.
It talks about our beliefs.
Yeah.
Yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10.
If this wasn't a judicial meeting, how come you texted me and said it was?
Because it first we thought it was going to be, and then we realized, no, we don't have to have it, because you've already made the choice to disassociate yourself from Jehovah's Witnesses.
I didn't.
Well, you did by that action. I mean, if you wanted to get baptized, why don't you get baptized by a brother?
I did get baptized by a brother.
A witness?
I got baptized by a Christian brother.
One of Jehovah's Witnesses.
I got baptized by someone who professes that Jesus is our Lord, and that's,
That's outside the organization.
99% of Christendom believes that. However, they don't believe teachings of Jehovah's Witnesses.
So why do we judge them? Like, that only belongs to Jesus.
This is an organization. We have beliefs that are different from most Christian religions, as you well know.
Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with the 2009 Watchtower article about, is it okay to change your religion?
Yes. You have the choice to do whatever you want. And you've
not in
choice.
This organization. People don't have the choice to do whatever they want if there's the consequence of being shunned by everybody you've ever known.
First Corinthians 1:10. Here Paul's talking to the true Christian congregation, saying, "Now I urge you, brothers, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you should all speak in agreement, and there should be no divisions among you." But here's the point. "But that you may be completely united in the same mind and in the same line of thought." That indicates that the true Christian congregation, every member has the same line of thought and the same mind, the same beliefs.
Yeah, and if you read the context, verse 11 says, "For some from the house of Chloe have informed me regarding you, my brothers, that there are dissensions among you. What I mean is this, that each one of you says, 'I belong to Paul, but I to Apollos, but I to Cephas, but I to Christ.' Is the Christ divided? Paul was not executed on the stake for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" Which is why it meant so much to me to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and not in the name of an organization or in the name of a faithful and discreet slave class or anything like that. And if Paul were sitting here in this room right now, I believe he would read this scripture to all of us to say, yes, we have to be complete, like you said in verse 10, completely united in the same mind and in the same line of thought under Jesus Christ. It's right there in verse 10, "in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And that is my Lord.
So you feel that our line of thought as Jehovah's Witnesses is different than your line of thought?
No, I think it's different from the scriptures because it's not about my line of thought.
Well, that makes it clear then.
But to be united, we all have to be in agreement to what we're being taught as Jehovah's Witnesses. Do you agree that about 1914? No. You do not.
Can you teach it to me?
Not at this time.
Why not?
But still, you don't agree.
Do you know how many times the teaching of 1914 has changed?
But what is the current?
So which one am I supposed to understand?
The current.
Because when I got baptized in 1994, it was one thing, and now it's something different.
Exactly. No different than the generation.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Exactly.
We have the current understanding. The same thing with King of the North.
Right. So how many times has that changed and flip-flopped?
But here's the current. So to be united, we have to agree with the faithful and discreet slave. And those that
That's
do
not what
agree
the scriptures say.
Have the choice to leave.
With the consequences of being shunned by everybody?
That's you've made that choice.
No, I haven't.
Yes,
I have not. I have not. You're literally imputing false words onto me. I have not made that choice. Because it's the ones who would go against the Christ that would be doing the shunning. That's why Christ said, he came to cause division and a sword, and that those who were not Christ's brothers would be the ones who would be lacking natural affection. I mean, you talk about the teachings of the faithful and discreet slave. I spent hours last night on Watchtower Online Library, and so my question is, when we're faced with a dilemma of seeing our literature and the scriptures differ, who are we supposed to listen to?
This is not a matter for debate.
No, it's a simple question. What should I do when faced with the dilemma of seeing something in the literature versus the Bible?
Well, here's what we're going to do. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23. And we're seeing an example of this happening right now.
Okay.
Here it states, further reject foolish and ignorant debates, knowing that they produce fights. It's not our intention to have a discussion about 1914.
Mm-hmm.
It's not our intention to have a discussion about the disfellowship arrangement or any other belief. We're here with a message, and that message has been conveyed.
That I'm kicked out of the synagogue like John chapter 9?
No, you made the choice. You kicked yourself out. If you want to put it in those terms.
Well, then I appeal your opinion.
There's
so we
no
can
appeal. You can't appeal your own decision.
But I didn't decide to. Yes, I didn't disassociate myself.
You did when you became baptized.
As a Christian.
By somebody outside of Jehovah's Organization.
As a Christian.
Catholics call themselves Christians.
Yes.
Lutherans call themselves Christians.
Uh-huh. But we don't judge hearts, correct? I mean, you would agree with that, that we're not the judge of hearts, but you're all here in judgment of me.
But our, just like we shared with you in the scriptures, yoked with unbelievers. You became yoked.
But they believe in Christ, so how do you call them an unbeliever?
They believe in Christ, but they don't have the same united beliefs that Jehovah's Witnesses do.
Is it really united beliefs when people are forced to believe
yes.
it, or else they're confronted with something like this?
No.
Is that unity, or is that uniformity, much like the North Korean army?
Well, here. But this is what Jehovah's Witnesses have. Let's go to Romans.
Okay.
Let's go to Romans, and 12:1.
Romans chapter 12, verse 1.
Yeah. So Jehovah's Witnesses are not robots. They don't. It says here, therefore I appeal to you by the compassions of God, brothers, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, sacred service, with your reason, with your power of reason.
Yeah.
So every individual in Jehovah's Organization has the power of reason to determine whether or not they want to believe these truths that are being taught.
That change.
And be united.
That change.
Yes.
Do you remember the talk you gave? I remember because I was still attending meetings, and at the time I was very, very enthusiastic in preparing for them. And there are things I appreciate about, you know, being educated in this organization. It did give me an initial hunger for God's word. I'm so grateful for that. But I remember one meeting, I think it was the 2017 midweek meeting, where it was like new beliefs clarified. And you literally had to stop the talk because no one could answer the questions. You as the conductor, do you remember this? It's when we all had our tablets, so all you had to do was like click on the answer. But literally, it was question after question of dead silence, and people couldn't even answer the new beliefs clarified. And you said to the congregation rather curtly, because you were upset that nobody knew the answers, you said, go home and, you know, study this article, because clearly the congregation hadn't done their preparation.
Yeah, that was the local needs part, and it had as an alternative.
Yeah, thank you.
Nobody had done it.
Right, no, but
so the point isn't that the questions are too hard. It's nobody was ready.
But should we have to, like, have 120 years of Watchtower Online Library memorized at the drop of the hat in order to be judged worthy of having association with our friends and family because we don't know the new light du jour?
It's not a knowledge thing. It's not that hard. We just need
then
to
why could nobody answer?
Because they weren't ready. We already talked about that.
It was, no one prepared for that part because there was supposed to be a local meeting.
Well, I'm glad that I'm not the only person who remembered, because it was sad.
Yeah, it was Steve.
It wasn't sad.
Well,
if anybody's at fault, it was Brother Knowles from Harvard in the Park.
He wasn't at fault, because you're emphasizing right now that, you know, we have to be united, that our unity is manifested by us all being on the same page of belief systems. Well, that was a clear example that we weren't.
Did somebody believe something different?
I don't know. They didn't raise their hands and share something different.
See,
they didn't know the answer because they weren't up to date on the latest Watchtower article.
We already went over this.
So you take issue with Watchtower articles?
Yes. I take issue with like we just read in Romans chapter 1 that God wants us to use our power of reason or critical thinking. And so I have Watchtower.
So you are critical of what's in the Watchtower.
We're supposed to be.
Which is outside of Jehovah's organization, like you have presented yourself to be.
What? Can you repeat the second part of that question? It didn't make sense.
You have presented yourself to be outside of Jehovah's organization by your critical disposition of Watchtower articles.
No, it's because I care about this organization that I even speak out. They say that the opposite of love isn't hate, it's apathy. And it's example after example of the prophets who God commissioned to the nation of Israel, who had a very unpopular message for the nation. And same with Jesus Christ, the scripture who says, you know, a prophet in his own land is not appreciated or liked, but yet it's an important message. And it was like when Jesus came and saw the crowds before him, he felt pity as they were sheep thrown about without a shepherd because they weren't, you know, being lovingly cared for by the religious leaders of the time. And that's exactly how I feel, because this was my tribe. These were my people. This was my entire life, my entire community. And so if I didn't care, I would just be quiet. You know, there's the expression, evil continues when good people do nothing. And when I lived in New York City, they had sayings. It was after 9/11, and it was a sign of a backpack. And it said, if you see something, say something. And there are scriptures that back up those principles, that it's love. I mean, I remember how many talks I heard as a teenager being told, if you know one of your friends is doing something wrong that's displeasing to Jehovah, whether it's smoking a cigarette or engaging in, you know, premarital sex or what have you, and if you go to your friend and say, look, if you don't go to the elders, I'm going to go for you. I was taught that we're supposed to speak out when we see injustice, and when we see idolatry, and when we see people taking a false step, because if we don't speak out, it's the sin of omission, and we're actually not showing love. It's because I care about this organization that I don't remain quiet.
And therefore you needed to become rebaptized outside of God's organization.
Because I couldn't
where
find...
Where you have placed yourself.
Well, I had just turned 15 years old. I was a minor.
I'm talking about now.
No, I'm talking about my baptism as a Jehovah's Witness. I got baptized as a Jehovah's Witness when I was a minor. My prefrontal cortex wasn't fully developed. I was a child. And so I never even had the opportunity, because I wasn't an excellent Bible student in my teenage years. I read, you know, the Watchtower and every cited scripture, but I didn't, like, immerse myself in God's Word. So I didn't even understand what baptism was. Really, I got baptized because I was afraid. I was told that my prayers weren't fully heard by God until I was baptized, and I was afraid that if Armageddon came before I got baptized as a Jehovah's Witness, I might not survive. And that's why I got baptized. And the other thing I told Johnny Haw, because he was doing the questions, was he asked me why now, and it was because all the other kids were getting baptized and because I had lost some weight and I fit in a swimsuit. And I said that to him, and they still let me get baptized. Like, I can't undo that because I was a child.
So I wanted to ask, you had mentioned about Jesus, seeing mm-hmm. pity for the crowd, wanted to teach them, wanted them to correct, be corrected by him. Mm-hmm. But Jesus, as we all know, is the perfect Son of God. Mm-hmm. And I see you illustrating that in your position, saying, this is the stuff I see, this is wrong, that is wrong. But Jesus was perfect. Mm-hmm. Have you considered the possibility that you might be wrong?
Absolutely. That's why I'm not judging. I'm not the judge, but we're all supposed to be footstep followers, and when we are baptized, we die in Jesus Christ, and we are raised in him, and the Spirit of God is in us. Like, that's why baptism is so beautiful and profound and powerful. What was the question?
Well, my
can I be wrong? Of course I can.
But in the meantime, I mean, 1 Corinthians 1:10, which was highlighted, right? I think we read that, right?
Yep. Yeah, but it's good to read it again.
And it just says, I urge you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you should all, not some,
mm-hmm. speak in agreement about Jesus.
And that there should be no divisions among you, and that you may be completely united in the same mind, in the same line of thought.
Mm-hmm. About Jesus Christ.
And about what he taught.
Yeah. And like about him dying on the torture stake and being resurrected, because that's the gospel. That's what they all needed to be united about. And then he, I think it was when he was speaking to the Ephesians, because the Sadducees were saying that there was no resurrection or it had already happened. I think that was Phileas and Hymenaeus. But anyway, so Paul repeatedly had to remind people, yes, to be united in Christ.
And so you have the choice to be united in the same line of thought.
In Christ.
As the rest of Jehovah's Witnesses. You have that choice. Or not.
Is the Bible, okay, I don't want to make any assumptions. Is the Bible your authority? Or is anything else, like, is the Bible plus your authority, or is the Bible your authority?
The Bible.
Me too. So,
their interpretations are clearly different.
Yeah, and there's many Bible commentaries out there. The Watchtower quotes many of them. I've been in the Watchtower library twice. Once with a private tour because we were in a congregation with Bethelites, and it's filled with, you know, Barclays. I could go on and on about Bible commentary scholars who the Watchtower uses. So that's fine, but when, you keep quoting 1 Corinthians 1:10, it's about being in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ speaking in agreement about Jesus, and that is absolutely what I stand for and believe in.
So do all religions that claim to be Christ Christians.
Claim
to follow the Bible.
Well, as you said on a Sunday 2 days ago or 2 weeks ago, you know, many will say, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and expel demons in your name and perform powerful works in your name?" Jesus said, "You know, get away from me. I never knew you." So it's about the fruitage. That's how everyone will be judged, is by their fruitage, regardless of denomination. Again, I will keep saying I'm not the judge. So it's about the fruitage, and that's why we have the words in Matthew, 13, about how the angels will pull out the weeds and throw them in the fire. Like, that's up to God, Jesus, and the angels, not me to say who are true Christians. It's only up to me to be a true Christian. And when I fall in sin, I know that I'm saved by grace. But it's, you know, a daily walk.
You have chosen to do that outside Jehovah's Witnesses organization.
Well, it kind of seems like Jesus set the example when he was speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4, where he literally was saying that the organizational arrangement was coming to a close.
The Jewish.
Yeah. Setting the example for what the next phase, the Christian church, congregation, ecclesia, would be all about.
But Jesus set the example of the preaching work, which you acknowledge.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, and I participate in.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, what other organization, by their fruitage, is going door to door, two by two?
The Mormons go door to door, the Baptists go door to door, Christadelphians go. No, I just, as I told Peter, I don't judge them. That's only for Christ to do.
So, do you think that there's not an organization?
I believe there's the church. And when Holy Spirit enters into you and you proclaim Jesus Christ as your Lord and you are adopted as a son and daughter of God, you are the representative of the kingdom on earth right now. And I can show you scriptures that talk about that. Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 15, Ephesians chapter 2. That's, yeah, so, I mean, if you want to call that God's organization, that's fine. Yes, his church, his ecclesia. That's the Greek word. Where Jehovah's Witnesses use the word organization, the Greek word is ecclesia. So that's fine. They're interchangeable.
I think we're getting off course. I think what it really comes down to is the fact that we could
debate.
But you're the one that made the decision to leave Jehovah's Witnesses when you were baptized by somebody else outside of Jehovah's organization.
And you've also clearly demonstrated that your beliefs are not in complete alignment with the teachings of Jehovah's Witnesses.
Well, Jehovah's Witnesses' beliefs aren't in complete alignment with Jehovah's Witnesses because they constantly change.
But that's up to us to accept that.
But God's word doesn't change. The Bible doesn't change.
We trust in the faithful and discreet slate. And when the light gets brighter and we have better understanding, then we'll accept those new.
You know, that's a really interesting scripture, Proverbs, 4:18? Because it's used a lot. Is it Proverbs 4:18? I'm going by memory. I mean, starting in verse 14 for context. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil men. Shun it, do not take it, turn away from it, and pass it by. For they cannot sleep unless they do what is bad. They are robbed of sleep unless they cause someone's downfall. They feed themselves with the bread of wickedness, and they drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the bright morning light that grows brighter and brighter until full daylight. The way of the wicked is like the darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. This is not about new understanding. It's about contrasting the path of a righteous person versus the way of the wicked, light versus darkness. I mean, it's very clear by the context.
And I can attest to it from my personal experience.
Yeah.
That when I left, what's out there, the path did get great. I mean, what the wisdom and the knowledge that Jehovah's Witnesses have compared to anything else out there is it's like a bright path. I agree. And
well, that's your testimony, and I would never ever challenge you on that. That is your testimony.
But just like it was my choice.
As an adult. There's a big difference. I mean, Jesus was 30 when he was baptized, and he was perfect.
I can tell you, you were decades more wise than I was at 30 than you were at 15. Decades ahead of me. In Bible knowledge and spirituality. I'll take any 8-year-old here that had more wisdom and knowledge of the Bible than I did when I was 30. It's just starting to study.
No, there are good study practices.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
And so I would argue that they could make a better decision on whether or not they want to serve God than I could at 30. But in any case, I chose to come into this organization because I liked the light.
I didn't. I was born into it.
And so you can choose not to be a part of it.
Without being ostracized and shunned by everybody I love. That's actually a human. That's actually the disfellowshipping arrangement. So I'm glad you brought that up because it relates to human rights. One of the things we are all proud of that Watchtower has done is they have taken cases to the Supreme Court and fought for. No, I want to make a valid point.
But first, you're not disfellowshipped.
I haven't disassociated myself.
Yes, you have.
Show me in a publication where. Getting baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is an act of disassociation. I appeal to the governing body to show me that that is an act of disassociation, because by you saying that that is an act of disassociation, you are actually disagreeing with God's word, which tells us that is how to be baptized. A body of water in the name of the Son, Father, and Holy Spirit.
Outside.
I did it in Lake Michigan.
And
did you do it by yourself?
No, I did it with a fellow believer.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, outside of God's organization.
Someone.
Matthew 24, 45 through 47.
I just say something really quick about human rights, because we were talking about like consequences?
I just don't want to hear about that right now.
Okay, about human rights?
The human rights of this world. We're talking about Jehovah's Organization.
Well, Jehovah's Organization cares about human rights.
Matthew 24 and 45 through 47.
Mm-hmm.
It says there, who really is the faithful and discreet slave whom his master appointed over his domestics? Give them their food at the proper time. Happy is that slave that his master on coming finds him doing so. Truly I say to you, he will appoint him over all his belongings. Now we as Jehovah's Witnesses believe that the organization that we follow from the state of New York is in fulfillment of this scripture.
Mm-hmm.
You feel otherwise.
No, I don't. No,
yes,
I don't. No, I'm telling you, I don't. I believe in faithful and discreet slaves, servants.
You believe in a faithful and discreet, but you don't believe that the Watchtower Society is it.
They didn't believe that they were it up until 2012. And so this was
semantics,
not their
you see.
Semantics. I'm telling you, Watchtower history, which you should really care about because you put your faith in it.
We do.
They did not teach that they were the faithful and discreet slave as like a group of 7 or 8 men, maybe 9, maybe 10, we don't know how many it will be or less, until 2012. 2012, and then they put it in publications in 2013. Prior to that, the faithful and discreet slave were all of the anointed remnant on earth, and that's who the faithful and discreet slave were when I was baptized in 1994, and I absolutely agree with that, and I even agree because, again, I am not the judge. I've never even had, like, a in-depth, I've met a few of them, but like a personal face-to-face conversation with these people to judge whether they are faithful and discreet. So I can go along with that. That's fine.
And I'm sure many of the 3 million that crossed the Red Sea probably never even spent time with Moses.
No, but his face was glowing and he was performing miracles.
He was the representative.
Absolutely.
And it's the same true today. Jehovah has a representative on earth. It's not Moses, but in this case it's men.
The faithful, faithful and discreet slaves. Yeah, yeah, I agree.
I'm not sure, do we have anything else we want to discuss? I think that's all we have.
Well, I appeal your decision, and if you announce me
I want to clarify this. This is not our decision.
You don't have anything to announce. If it's not your decision.
You disassociated yourself with Jehovah's Witnesses, so the announcement will be made. On Thursday, you are no longer one of Jehovah's Witnesses.
Well, if you do that, I will be. I've been in communication with a lawyer, and there will. Wow, is this what you call shepherding?
This is not a shepherding call.
What was it?
It was just to let you know of your decision to dissociate yourself.
This is how the Pharisees treated people in Jesus' day. And I just pray that our Father forgives you because right now you don't know what you're doing. People kill themselves because of things like this when they are shunned. I won't because I live by grace now and the love of Jesus Christ. But I think, like, do you even care? You knew Ricky. He's dead. He's dead because he couldn't handle being shunned. Do you know how many people who are survivors of child sex abuse I'm in contact with who have PTSD because of how they've been treated by elders? Does that matter to you? Does that matter to you? Does it make your heart sad for them?
But we also want you to know that if you ever have any change of heart or thinking, feel free to contact any one of us. We'd love to talk with you.
Change of heart? What would a change of heart even look like? I've already told you that the Bible is my authority and that Jesus Christ is my Lord. So what sort of change of heart am I supposed to have? And I look Steve Knowles in the face.
You've already made clear it's a different interpretation.
Right. And
Scott, I really like you, and I'm just sad to see you following men. It's called idolatry. It makes my heart sad.
Yes, because I worship Steve Knowles.
No, because this organization is being taught to follow men in New York. They were part of the United Nations for 10 years.
I understand.
That's sad. I don't think you do.